Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Haunted Nights, live with Tamara Thorne and Alistair Cross.
Like to thank W.J. Pierce for creating and performing our music. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Thorn and Cross, Haunted Nights Live. We're your hosts, Alistair Cross and Tamara Thorne. Thank you for joining us. Before we introduce tonight's guests, I just have to announce that Tamara and I have both just recently released solo novels, and so I'm going to turn it over to her, and she's going to tell you a little bit about them, assuming the studio allows her to do it.
That's right. And if they don't, Alistair will be taking over because we are collaborators after all.
That's right.
That's right. My book is Brimstone. It takes place in 1968. It's a coming-of-age novel. The Brimstone Grand Hotel, owned by reclusive former movie star Delilah Devine, looms high on Hospital Hill, harboring long-buried family secrets that whisper of unimaginable horrors. Horrors that will echo down through generations. And within the walls of the Brimstone Grand, the past has come back to life, and Holly Tremaine and her grandmother Delilah are faced with an ancient familial evil that rages just below the old hotel's serene facade. It's an evil that won't rest until it possesses Holly, body, mind, and soul. Now, Alistair's new book is The Silver Dagger. It's book two in the Vampires of Crimson Cove series, and it picks up where the Crimson Corset leaves off. Life in Crimson Cove has been good to the Coulter brothers since Gretchen Van Treese was staked and her horde of vampires scattered. But when she rises from the grave, the brothers are torn apart, their lives and the peace between them shattered. Meanwhile, a serial killer is stalking the little mountain town, leaving a trail of blood that leads to a truth Sheriff Ethan Hunter doesn't want to face. The streets are no longer safe, nor are the forests as. An unknowable evil has come to Crimson Cove, and everyone, vampire and human alike, must come together in order to survive. Alistair?
All right, and the first book in that series is The Crimson Corset. That's available at Amazon.com. They both are. And if you are a vampire fan, you might also want to check out its companion novel, Darling Girls, which is a Thorn and Cross collaboration, which features the vampires not only of Crimson Cove, but also of Tamara's novel, Candle Bay. Again, you're listening to Thorn and Cross, Haunted Nights Live. You can learn more about what we do at our websites, alistaircross.com and tamarathorne.com. You can visit our mutual blog at thornandcross.wordpress.com. If you tweet, our handles are at CrossAlistair and at Tamara Thorne, and you can also check us out on Facebook on our Haunted Nights Live page. For more information on the show, you can visit Authors on the Air on Facebook, Twitter, and at authorsontheair.com. This is a broadcast of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network, LLC. All right. That out of the way, we are happy to introduce tonight's guests, and there are two of them, and that makes us especially happy because we love talking to other collaborators. So, first things first, W.D. Gagliani is the author of the Nick Lupo series, as well as the thrillers The Judas Hit and Savage Nights. He's a Bram Stoker nominee, and his stories have been published in many anthologies, garnering six honorable mentions in the year's Best Fantasy and Horror. David Benton is the author of the ecological horror novel Fauna. The team of W.D. Gagliani and David Benton has published short fiction in various anthologies, plus the Amazon Kindle World's Vampire Diaries tie-in, Voracious in Vegas. Some of their collaborations are available in the collection Mysteries and Mayhem, and their novel Killer Lake is due from Deadite Press on August 15th, 2019.
Yes. And I want to tell you about Killer Lake real quickly, because there's a recipe for it that you have to hear. It's the recipe for a satanic panic. Take a medium-sized cult and their best demonic summoning. Mix with a dash of strange psychic powers. Generously add murderous reanimated corpses, inbred cannibal rednecks, sex-starved half-naked co-eds, horny football players, and a surprise creature or two. Sprinkle in a fancy log cabin mansion, a labyrinthine set of tunnels, and a secret ritual chamber. Stir, bake on high at 666 degrees. Now, to introduce them, William D. Gagliani and David Benton, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here. Thanks for having us. Hello.
Oh, we're glad to have you guys back.
Yeah,
how are you?
Fantastic.
And you're coming to us live from KillerCon, right? Austin?
Indeed, in KillerCon in Austin.
I hope you have lots of fun.
Already started.
Meanwhile, yeah. Go ahead, Alistair.
All right. Killer Lake. This is, first of all, I have to say, and we had you on, Bill, earlier, I mentioned this, and I have to say it again, I love the cover of this. It just really calls to me. It's just one of those books I really, really want to read, and I'm looking forward to doing that. What I'd like to know is you did this together. You do a lot together. Who, for this book in particular, for Killer Lake, Did one of you come up with the idea more so than the other one? How does that work?
This is Bill. Sometimes, you know, it works different ways, but in this case, I think, if I remember correctly, Dave did the start, came up with the majority of the plot, and laid down the framework, and then I jumped in with the areas that he left open for me, and then we ended on a spurt of total collaboration at the end. And here's Dave.
Oddly, I would say that it was totally equal. We discussed everything in advance.
Dave really came to me with the plot, and you know it was a good plot. And we, as we always do, we hashed it out together to make sure that we knew where we were going with it. But, you know, Dave laid down the first tract, and then, you know, we went from there. But we do it differently every time, probably.
Right.
Don't mind us. We talk over each other all the time.
Sorry,
we can't help it.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
I was just asking, what can you tell us about the plot? We know about, you know, we know that there are horny football players and half-naked co-eds, but what? Tell us a little more about the plot, and then, Tamara, you can ask your question.
I don't want to give away too much in terms of, you know, people who may want to buy it for any surprises that are in store. In terms of plot, it's very 80s horror related. It's almost a tip in the hat to the splatterpunk subgenre of horror fiction and horror films of the 80s. And in the end, while we were working on it, I guess sometimes Bill and I's collaborative technique when we have divergent ideas of what we want to do, oftentimes our idea of compromise is trying to work both ideas into the plot.
Okay.
And in this case, in the case of Killer Lake, I guess it went a little off the rails, and eventually we decided that it would be really fun to try to put as many common horror tropes as we could in one novel and still keep it like a seamless narrative where it didn't feel like those things did not belong together. And I think Tamara read the book description, and from that,
yeah,
you can tell that there's yeah, a lot going on in Killer Lake. A lot of times I think of it as almost reading five Richard Layman novels at the same time.
Nice, nice.
That is a lot.
Yeah, that was a good description. The five Layman novels is a good description of how we kind of approached it. You know, and we really did try to bring in as many of those, you know, I mean, they're sort of familiar, but they're familiar. That's what we love about them, is that they're familiar. And so we wanted to, as Dave said, tip of the hat, or, you know, pay homage to you know, these tropes that we all loved in our 80s movies and also in those great slasher novels. So we've got a little bit of everything in here, you know, including the kitchen sink, if I remember. I think
there may be two kitchen sinks, I think.
Yeah, we have
to that sounds great. But you were talking about, you know, how you plot and who lays out what. What we would love to know, because we did the same thing together, is how much do you know about the book before you start writing it? Do you just know sort of a basic beginning, middle, and end, or do you plot a lot?
Well, you know, it's different every time, but remember, we've only collaborated on two novels, technically. A children's novel, a young adult's novel that nobody knows about, really, but is out there under one of our pen names, and then this one. And I think our short stories, we do differently. Sometimes we know the entire story, and other times we're just sort of driving toward an end, but we don't know necessarily what's in the middle. But I think that's where bouncing off of each other really works. And we're able to take those hazy middle parts and, you know, make them seem really, destined to be there. You know, they seem to fit once we bounce them off of each other. But sometimes, you know, we've had an idea for a story, like one that we wrote recently, where we knew pretty much the whole story, and then it was just a matter of putting sections into order. So, you know, we approach things differently.
Yeah. Right.
We tried to write a short story once. It turned into a novel.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't even try anymore. They're too hard.
No.
I have a question for both of you. It's the same question, but I'm going to ask one at a time. I think I'm curious to know this. So we'll start with Bill. What would you say, Bill, is David's greatest strength as a writer?
David's greatest strength as a writer is he's got an endless line of ideas, I think. And the second thing is, I think he writes dialogue better than I do. I'm more of a description guy, I think. And, you know, the dialogue is a little harder for me. Once I get into a groove, it usually works okay. But I think, from my point of view anyway, David's ideas, sometimes he's good at driving the plot when I'm not sure where to go. And in fact, sometimes, I don't know if you'll agree with this, but I think personally, sometimes it's good because if I'm not sure where to go, he'll throw something out and, you know, it'll be kind of a, you know, in left field for me, and that's then a challenge. So I find that
right,
it makes me think more. So that's my answer.
Right. All right. David, what would you say is Bill's greatest strength as a writer?
Bill is a fantastic writer. Technically, descriptively, he's great. I borderline consider myself a writer. I consider myself more of a creative person, and I love creative activities, whatever they are. But Bill is like a natural born writer. He's really fantastic in terms of his technical skills. And in terms of how he ended what he was saying, that works mutually back and forth, where we, it's part of at least our collaborative process, makes me have to think in a different way than I normally would. If I were plotting something on my own, Bill just throws out different ideas that are very different sometimes from the ideas that I would have. And sometimes I think making our differences work together really strengthens a lot of our collaborative work.
Right. Yeah. All right. Okay. So, Bill, what is your, or rather, who is your favorite character in Killer Lake, and why?
Oh, that's a good one. My favorite character in Killer Lake is probably a character that's not on stage as much as some of the others, but then becomes a total surprise. So I don't want to give too much away, but you know, there's some stuff that goes on that where you kind of lose track of somebody, and then all of a sudden you're given a lot more about that one person. And I don't even want to say the name. I want to leave it alone for that. I want to leave it as a surprise. But I think it's something that helped us, I think, bring the book to a close in exactly the perfect way, depending on how you look at it. And we basically have a whole wide cast of characters, but you're really focusing mostly on four, maybe five people, a fifth person, and a lot of them interact throughout the book, but one kind of gets edged out until later, and that's my favorite character. I don't know about Dave.
All right.
Dave can tell you.
All right. David. Dave, who's your favorite character and why?
Okay. This is very interesting. You guys will understand this because as the publishing process goes, it's been a while since we wrote this piece and then submitted it and it was accepted and so it's been finished for a long time. And unfortunately, I don't remember the name of the character.
Oh, yeah.
It happens.
I think it's either Kaylee or Kayla. She ends up being kind of the heroine of the story in general. It's something like that. But she's my favorite.
I should explain. Part of the reason that Dave's confused is because we changed the name. We started with one, and then we changed it slightly. And so I think neither of us remembers which is the final name. But that's kind of a running joke between us. We were actually laughing about it earlier, but neither of us could remember.
Oh yeah,
exactly
it happens. I mean, if it makes
it's
you
very
better. We do this, we each have a solo going at the same time, and then we have our Ravencrest series, which is ongoing, and we're also always working on a main collaboration. And so we've got three going at all times, and one time we were writing and we our character wouldn't do what we wanted her to do, and it just wasn't making any sense. And we were both there for this. This is not like one of us. We were both. And all of a sudden we realized why it wasn't working. And anyway, come to find out, we were in the wrong book. We were trying to fool our governess from Ravencrest. We all of a sudden just threw her into our collaboration and couldn't figure out why. We didn't know what to do with her.
Yes,
that's so it happened.
We didn't know. No. And right now we have, in Alistair's new solo, he has a priest. Father Scarlatti. Yeah. And in Ravencrest, we have a priest, Father DeVargas. And Anthony Antonio and Vincent, and we cannot keep them straight to save our souls. We read back to each other every day, and we're always moving Vincent and Antonio back and forth. You know?
So, we get it. Totally.
Yeah. Oh, do we get it?
All right. So,
you know, that's part of the joy of collaboration, I think. You know,
it is.
It really is.
You don't feel stupid because the other person's just as bad.
Exactly. So Bill and David, so you guys obviously work well together, or you wouldn't still be doing it. Most collaborative efforts don't make it even as far as you guys have gone. So we know that you get along and that you gel really well writing. Do you guys get along well personally, or do you pal around, or is it just, you know, business? What's that like?
We actually do pal around. We live not too far from each other, and we go out for dinner, we go out for drinks, we talk about other things outside of writing. We hang out.
Yeah. All right,
that must be nice to live so close. We have road trips together, and we text all night, and that's about it.
Yeah, no, right? We're not very close, though. I mean, in physical distance, that's the problem.
Physically, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you guys aren't. You're not near each other, right?
And they're physically close. Yeah.
Yeah, no. Yeah, we're hundreds of miles away. It's So we don't get together or anything like that. But we're always chit chatting. Always.
Yeah.
It's hard not to, because you could be the middle of the night, you know, or late at night, I should say, get an idea for something, or something, you know, comes along. I don't really know. I suppose it's possible that two collaborators could just be just strictly business partners, but I don't really know what that would look like, you know, to be honest.
It would be boring. Yeah.
It would be hard.
You guys brainstorm by text at night? We do that all night long sometimes. We turn our sounds down so we don't wake each other up, because we're always brainstorming. You know, you get up to pee and, oh, that's a good idea, and I send it to him, or vice versa, and then the next time I wake up, oh, look, he answered, he got up too. But you guys do that, or?
No, you know, it's interesting.
No?
We don't text ideas. No, we do email, phone, and occasionally we're both on Google Docs. We do a lot in person too. I mean, a lot of our
clients. Oh, yeah, you have that going on.
Yeah, I mean, we get together, you know, for, you know, I work a lot at Starbucks, so sometimes Dave pops into Starbucks and we'll do a plotting session for a couple hours, you know, or we do that in the bar. Honestly, sometimes it's the bar, you know, and we'll plot together in person, and then the rest of it gets done by phone, by email, and like I said, in Google Docs. Yeah. So we've never tried Skype. We've never tried using Skype to write.
Oh, we use Skype and Google Docs all day long, every day.
Yeah.
We're always connected.
Yeah.
In the daytime.
So what does it look like when you guys are you know, plugging along writing, and one of you has an idea or decides to go a direction that the other one does not agree with? How do you resolve that?
We hash it out.
Yeah. Wow. I don't know. I can't think of a time that happened. Like I said, oftentimes our idea of compromise is trying to work both of our ideas into the story. I literally can't think of any time that we work together where we've had like a real conflict in terms of one of us really wanting to go in one direction and the other one wanting to go into a different direction. Collaboration is such a weird thing, because you kind of have to be able to put your ego aside and realize the other person's idea is just as valid as your idea. And
this
novel, Killer Lake, is a great example of that, because it kind of sprang out of, you know, multiple instances of us being like, how about this or how about this, and being like, well, hey, why not both? You know, and eventually it ended up being this kind of exercise in seeing how many tropes we could put in one novel and have it still be still be coherent.
Right.
And
sounds familiar.
Have a plot that isn't crazy, but has a lot of different elements in it.
Right.
Yeah.
So now,
you guys can't answer that any more than we do. Yeah.
Exactly. It's the same way for us. And so I have one more question for you guys. Bill first, as you know, one word answer. What would you say, because we could ask this a lot, what would you say if I asked you what the key is to successfully collaborating?
You literally just want one word?
Well, it doesn't need to be one word. Fine. Just whatever.
The key to good collaboration, that's a tough question. I think the key to good collaboration is to listen. You know, listen to the other person's point of view. And, you know, sometimes Dave will have some ideas and I don't necessarily follow where he's going. So I'll just ask a bunch of questions. You know, I mean, I'll pepper him with questions like, so why is he doing this? Why did she do that? You know, and I think while he's answering me, we're kind of both also, you know, kind of figuring it out at the same time.
Right.
And, you know, if the questions are decent, then the answers will point the way, you know, and
right.
Sometimes he questions what I'm doing. So, I mean, I guess listening, I think, to the other person is really the key. Because otherwise, if it's just, I just want to get all my ideas in, you know, then it's like a band where one of the members can't get their songs in until he leaves. So,
right,
yeah,
exactly.
All right,
David, how would you answer that?
I think I would answer it in exactly what I said before, which is similar but a different way, which is you have to be able to put your ego aside. You can't be hard-headed about your ideas. You need to realize that the other person's ideas are just as valid as your ideas. And I guess exactly what Bill said, listen to them and try to work with it and not be entrenched with what you're thinking personally.
Right, right.
But maybe,
good
maybe
answers. All right.
Maybe it's the same thing as having any relationship with someone else, you know,
yeah,
not necessarily collaboration, but any kind of relationship. You really need to listen and realize that the other person's opinion is valid and pay attention.
Right. Mm-hmm. I agree.
I have a quick question. How did Preston and Child answer that?
They said a marriage is the best if they don't sleep together, because, you know, if you sleep 2,000 miles apart and then you get along really well.
That's right.
That's what they always say. And it's true.
That's right. That's right. All right. You guys are awesome. Killer mm-hmm. Lake. It is out. I'm looking forward to it. Before we mm-hmm. let you guys go, David, where can our listeners find out more about you and what you do?
Oh, boy, maybe on Facebook?
All right.
I don't have a web address or anything, so.
Okay.
All right. What about you, Bill?
I keep telling you to have a website. For me, it's Facebook, WD Gagnani, and on the web, it's WDGagnani.com.
All right. Perfect. All right, you guys. Happy collaborating. Thank you so much for being on. It's a pleasure, as always, to have you. And keep in touch. And the next time you have something new out, let us know, and we'll have you back.
Sounds good. Yes. Thank you for having us.
You are welcome.
Having a drink together.
All right.
Someday. All
right.
Joy. Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.
All
right. Thank you. And thank you, everybody, for listening. And this is Thorn and Cross, Haunted Nights Live. And until next week, we wish you haunted nights
and sweet screams.
Thank you for listening.
100 Nights, live with Tamara Thorne and Alistair Cross.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.